Well, again, just a warm word of welcome to everyone that's joined us this evening. It's good to see you. Wednesday night traditionally is the smallest night of the week as far as the people are concerned due to other commitments in the community. But we are glad to see everyone that has come tonight, and we trust the Lord will bless us as we're just here under the sound of His word. There'll be another meeting tomorrow night in the will of God, again at 8 o'clock. No meeting on Friday, no meeting on Saturday, but we'll recommence on Sunday night, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, every night at 8 o'clock for the preaching of the gospel. At 7:15, we have a wee time of prayer every night, and then we move out into the streets just to give the people just a fresh invitation to come along. So if you're free to join us at 7:15 for prayer, then we'll be delighted to have your fellowship then. So I just want to read a few verses from the Bible. If you have a Bible, you can turn it up. If you don't, then don't be concerned about that, because we'll make the reading quite clear. It's Luke's Gospel in chapter 15, and we're just going to read the first 7 verses of that chapter. Verse 1 says, "Then drew near unto him, that is unto the Lord Jesus, all the publicans or all the tax collectors and the sinners, for to hear him." It was different days then than it is now. It'd be wonderful, you know, just to see all the people just drawing near to hear the words of the Lord. Sadly, it's very difficult to get people to come to hear the gospel nowadays. There just seems to be so many distractions and so many attractions, and people just seem to have an ear for everything and anything. And there's very few that sadly have an ear for the voice of God. But in these days, it was different. And the Lord Jesus was there, and they drew near to him, the publicans and the sinners, for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes, they murmured, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." I don't know about you, but I'm glad that this man receives sinners, because that's all I am tonight. Just a sinner. And praise God, as a sinner, I came to the Saviour and he received me. He received me just as I was. He didn't ask me to clean up my act. He didn't ask me to turn over a new leaf. He didn't ask me to try better. He just took me as I was, as a sinner. And I'm glad tonight that this man, the Lord Jesus, receives sinners. He's still the same. That verse was quoted in the street just a few minutes ago. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today and forever. He received sinners when he was here 2,000 years ago. He still receives sinners. And he says, "Him that comes to me, I'll never turn them away. I'll never cast them out." Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't matter who we are. Doesn't matter our need. Doesn't matter our deepest, darkest sin. The Lord Jesus says, "If you come to me, I'll never turn you away." And that means he'll take us in. That's the opposite, isn't it? If he promises not to turn us away, it means that he'll take us in. He'll embrace us and he'll claim us as his own if we just come to him. This man receives sinners and eats and drinks with them. And he spoke this parable unto them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." And that's all we're reading. Again, we're sure God will add a blessing to the reading of his word. We're just going to look at a very simple story tonight, a story that has been referred to thousands, yeah, tens of thousands of times over the years, the story of the lost sheep. It's a simple story, and yet it's a story that has some lovely lessons for us even tonight here in New Cumnock. It's about a lost sheep, but praise God, it's about a loving shepherd. A loving shepherd. As we think of the lost sheep, we're going to think about ourselves. But when we think of the loving shepherd, we're going to think of the wonderful person of the Lord Jesus. And he's the one that is right at the heart of the message that we preach night by night. We preach Christ and him crucified. We have no other message, because there is no other message that can meet the needs of men than the message of Christ and him crucified. So we're going to think of a lost sheep, and then we're going to think of a loving shepherd. And then we're going to think of a lonely search, because the shepherd had to go to seek for the sheep. He had to search for it until he found it.
Now we're going to think of that sheep as it was laid secure on the shoulders of the shepherd, a lost sheep. I notice that this sheep actually belonged to someone. It belonged to the shepherd. It wasn't a wild animal. It wasn't an animal that was used to just roaming the hillsides and doing its own thing and going its own way. No, it belonged to someone. It was somebody's property. But it had become lost. And that really reminds me tonight that we are somebody's property. That we belong to someone. That we belong to God. You see, the evolutionists would tell us that we're just the product of chance, so it doesn't really matter how we live, that we're not accountable to anybody, we're not responsible to anyone, we're just can make ourselves our own master. But the Bible tells us very clearly that there is a creator God, that God created all things. And God has a claim on us. There's a sense in which we belong to God. I don't know about you, but that really encourages me because, you know, to think if we're just the product of chance, if we're just the product of some evolutionary fluke, then there's no meaning to us, there's no value upon us. But if we belong to God, then there is a value upon us. God places a value upon me tonight. He places a value upon you. He places a value upon every single individual, and you come not, and in East Asia, and in the whole of our world, God places a value in every individual. Sadly, we're living in a society that doesn't place much value in certain individuals. We're living in a society that is full of prejudice. And certain people are looked down upon. And certain sections of society are shunned. And people that do certain things, that live a certain lifestyle, that they're totally ignored and they're marginalised. But isn't it wonderful to think that God doesn't marginalise anybody? Every individual is valuable to God. Regardless of who they are, regardless of what they've done, regardless of where they've come from, every individual is valuable to God. I remember when I was young, my father had a few sort of bees in his bonnet, and one of the bees that he had in his bonnet was, some people used to talk about us being worthless. And my father used to teach me, he says, listen, he says, there's no man worthless. We're all unworthy, but there's nobody worthless. And every one of us tonight are unworthy before God. We're unworthy of His love. We're unworthy of His salvation. But we're not worthless. We're not worthless because we were made in God's image. Every man was made in the image of God, or the first man was made in the image of God, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Man came, the human race came from the hand of God, and man was made to reflect the very image of God. God, we belong to God, and therefore we're valuable to God. You're valuable to God tonight. If you forget everything else, you remember that tonight. That you're valuable, that you matter to God. There may be times in your life when you feel as if you don't matter to anybody, that you're just a number, just a social security number. You know, a lot of the people that I deal with every day, you know, they can almost tell you their social security number quicker than they can tell you their name. You know, because when they go to certain places, that's the first thing they're asked. They're not asked their name, they're asked for their number, and they feel as if they don't matter. They feel as if they're nobody's. But listen, every one of us is valuable to God. And exceptionally valuable to God. This sheep belonged to someone. It belonged to the shepherd. But it had wandered. It had gone astray. And that's just like the human race. That's just like mankind. That's just like individuals. You know, we belong to God. But sadly, we have gone astray from God. We have wandered from God. There might have been various reasons why the sheep wandered. Might have thought that the grass was a bit greener on the other side. It might have felt that the shepherd watching over it just brought sort of restrictions that the sheep didn't really want to be placed upon it. Or maybe it just had a sort of inbred tendency just to wander. And I suppose every one of us have got an inbred tendency to wander. The Bible calls it sin. Yeah, I don't know whether you tried the bowling, whether it was the carpet bowls or the outside bowls, but you know, if you try to roll that ball in a straight line, then you'll discover it's not going to go in a straight line because there's a bias in it that causes it to curve. There's a weight in one side, and it causes it just to go off the straight. That's why it's very skillful to do the bowls. It looks easy, you know, when you're watching, but there's a skill because you've got to get the bias right. You see, there's a bias that causes it just to take the curve, and there's a bias in our heart that causes us just to go astray, and it's the bias of sin. It's in every one of our natures. It's inherent. It's inbred. We received at the moment we were conceived in our mother's womb. That tendency to go astray. Paul talked about going astray from the moment we were born. We've got a bias that takes us away from God. And the Bible tells us there's none that really seeks God. That such is the bias that's within the human heart that men, if they were left to themselves, would just stray further and further and further and further away from God. Yet there are times when God speaks to them. I'm thankful for that. I believe that God speaks to every individual at some point in the course of their life. God speaks to them. Sometimes God speaks to individuals and people think of what God has got to offer them and they say, well, I really prefer the life of God at the moment. What God offers me seems to be so intangible. It seems to be related just to what's beyond the grave. I would rather live for the here and now. And people think the material and the temporal and the physical is of more importance to the spiritual and the heavenly and the eternal. And they're more attracted with the things they can touch, the things they can taste, and the things they can handle. And they want to hold on to these things. And they don't want the great spiritual blessings that God offers them in the person of the Lord Jesus. And because the temporal and the material seems so attractive, men and women go in for these things. And going in for these things, they just get further and further and further away from God. And the shepherd, this sheep belonged to someone. But this shepherd wandered away. This sheep wandered away from the shepherd. And wandering away from the shepherd, it became exposed to danger. Became exposed to danger. You see, there's really safety when we're close to the shepherd. There's safety when we're living close to the Lord Jesus. And his watchful eye is upon us, and his hands around us, and he guides us with his rod. That's the lovely psalm, isn't it? Psalm number 23 that we learned as children in the school. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me by still waters. Think of that lovely psalm. Think of all that's contained in that psalm. That's really the secret for a peaceful life, isn't it? That's the secret of a satisfying life. Just to know the Lord Jesus as a shepherd and to live close to him and allow him to guide us and to guide us and to provide for us. But you know, when we're living a life divorced from the Lord Jesus, when we go astray from him and go our own way, then we get exposed to all sorts of dangers. And the world out there looks so attractive and it offers so many pleasures and you know, it seems to be a nice place just to settle down in. And there are so many people and they're just settled down in this old world and they've got very little thought for Christ and very little thought for God and they think they're doing well. But the Bible tells us there's an enemy. There's an enemy that men and women are exposed to every day and his name is Satan, his name is the devil, his name is Diabolus, the deceiver, the destroyer. And the Bible tells us that he goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he will devour. You can imagine this little sheep, as long as it was close to that shepherd, then it was safe, it was secure. But when it started to wander, it was exposed to the ravening wolves and the wild beasts that would tear it apart. And think of individuals and think of homes and you come up tonight that have been torn apart. Torn apart by the strong, savage, real, isn't it? The devil's true, the devil's real, the devil's not a fictional character, he's not a fairy tale, he's not a myth, he's real. He's a destroyer. He's a roaring lion and he devours people's lives. We've seen it so often, haven't we? The longer people remain away from Christ, wandering in the paths of sin, exercising their own self-will, then the more and more they're exposed to the activity of the devil who'll devour them. But sometimes Satan's a lot more subtle than a lion coming to devour men. Sometimes he comes as an angel of light to deceive men. The end result is just the same, you know. Whether men are devoured by the enemy or whether they're deceived by the enemy, the end result is the same. They remain in their lost condition. They remain estranged from God and estranged from Christ. And if they die like that, they'll perish eternally. You see, there are many people deceived by the enemy by a life of religion, a life of good works, a life of moral uprightness. And all these things are so appealing. But you see, if Christ is not at the heart of it, if a person's life is not built on the solid rock which is Christ, then all their religion and their good works and their moral righteousness, then it's of no value. And they might live in that clean side of life, being deceived by the angel of light, and end in the same place in eternity as the individual that has experienced the devil as a roaring lion that has devoured them and wasted them and ruined them and given them a life of misery and heartache. The end result will be the same for those that are deceived and those that are devoured. The end result is eternal damnation. Oh my friend, don't be exposed to the enemy. Come to Christ. He'll save you. He'll guard you, he'll guide you, he'll preserve you. He'll bring you into his fold that you might be safe for eternity. But I noticed this sheep was not only belonged to someone and had wandered and was exposed to danger, but ultimately was facing death. That was the end result, wasn't it? There was no way this little sheep could get its way back home. There it was, exposed to danger and facing the reality of death. And of course, we all face death, don't we? It's the ultimate reality. It's the inescapable reality. It faces every one of us. We don't like to think about it, but it's there. It's real. It's ahead of us somewhere in the distant future. Maybe they're not too far distant. Who knows? Who knows? When did you last face up to the reality of death? And not only the reality of death, but the reality of what's beyond death. Because death doesn't end all. Beyond death is eternity. Eternity. A realm that never ends. The Bible makes it clear that in eternity there are two distinct places that men will exist in. Oh, there's a place called heaven. That's where the good shepherd is. That's where the Saviour is. But there's a place called hell. A place of torment, a place of agony. A place of blackness. A place of judgment. And that's what we face tonight. Every one of us face death. We face eternity. My friend, we need to be sure where we're going. Are you sure tonight where you're going? If you're to die tonight, do you have that cast iron guarantee that you'll be in heaven with the Lord Jesus? Or I wonder if you were to die tonight, would you be in hell and torments, crying for a drop of water to cool your tongue because you were tormented in the flame? My friend, we can't escape death. It's inevitable. But we can prepare for death. We can prepare for death. And here was this little sheep, and there it was, that had wandered, exposed to danger. It was facing death, but praise God, there was a loving shepherd. That shepherd loved that sheep. I don't know, but maybe he had 100 sheep, and maybe he had a name for every one of them, a pet name for them all. I remember seeing a program on the television years ago, and there was this shepherdess, and it was a sort of competition thing, and she had all these sheep, and she said that she would be able to name every one of them. And there they were. They all just looked the same to me. They just looked exactly the same to me, but every one of them looked different to her. And she call them out one by one, and there'd be a wee name tag underneath, and you know, every one of them was correct. She knew every one of the name, every one of them, every one. She knew all their individual characteristics that you and I could never detect, but she detected. She knew every one of them because she loved them. And the Lord Jesus Christ knows every one of us because He loves us. Knows our name, knows where we stay, knows the very number of the hairs of our head. That's how intimately interested He is in every one of us. I don't suppose that shepherdess knew the weight of wool in each one of their fleeces, but the Lord Jesus Christ knows the number of our hairs. The hairs of our head are numbered. He's so intimately concerned about us. You might have thought, well, this shepherd has got 100 sheep and 99 of them are safe. He'd be better going away in and having a good sleep and forgetting about it. After all, it had gone astray himself. He'd done all he could for it. It was his own self-will that had taken it away. But how could the shepherd sleep soundly if there was one sheep that was straying? How could he sleep soundly if there was one sheep that was lost, if there was one sheep that was exposed to danger, that was facing death? How could he sleep soundly? He must search for it. He must search for it. And the love in his heart was the love that drove him on that lonely search to find the sheep that was lost. Think of what he left. Left the comfort of his own home. Left his fireside, left his supper, left his family, he left it all behind in order to go and seek for the sheep that was lost. Think of what the Lord Jesus left behind to come and seek us. The Lord Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Think of what he left behind. Think of where he came from. Well, our minds are really too small, aren't they, to really grasp the glory and the vastness and the beauty of the place that he came from. He came from heaven. That place of unsullied holiness, that place of eternal light and glory, that place of undisturbed peace, that place where he was worshipped and adored by the ranks of angelic beings. That place where he was ministered to as he sat on the throne. And yet he left that. He left that. Why? To seek and to save those that were lost. To seek and to save me. To seek and to save you. What amazing love. What wonderful grace. The shepherd left his home and he went. He went into the hills. He went to the cliffs. He went down the valleys. He went through the gorse. And he's seeking and he's searching the sheep that was lost. He was all alone. There was no companion. There was none to share his burden. There was none that he could rest upon. There was none to be alongside him. He was all alone and he searched for the lost sheep. My Lord Jesus Christ was here as he moved up and down the length of Palestine. There was none that really understood him. His was a lonely walk. His was a lonely search. Even those men that gathered around him, these 12 disciples, they never really entered into the deep burden of his heart. They couldn't understand him. They couldn't understand what drove him on, what motivated him. They couldn't understand why he'd even come. But a lonely life was the life of Christ. He came to seek and to save those that were lost. This man, as he went seeking the lost sheep, I noticed this, that he went. And he went and he went and he went as far as he needed to go until he found it. No distance was too far for him. No hill was too high. No cliff was too dangerous. No valley was too deep. He would go and he would seek and seek as far as he needed to go until he found it because he loved it. The Lord Jesus Christ, he went as far as he needed to go in order to seek and to save men that were lost. And Micah says, all the way to Calvary, he went for me, he died to set me free. That's how far he went, isn't it? Never stopped short. Set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem, knowing everything that would happen to him. He knew in Jerusalem he would be arrested. He knew he'd be falsely accused. He knew he would be buffeted. He knew he'd be wounded. He knew he would be stripped. He knew he would be beaten. He knew he'd be crucified, stripped on a cross. And yet he went there to seeking to save those that were lost, to seeking to save you and to seeking to save me. And the Lord Jesus went deeper than that, didn't he? The Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary not only knew what it was to be abused and beaten by the hands of men, but he knew what it was to enter into that darkness. And there to know the abandonment of God. There to know what it was to receive the sword of God's justice against sin, falling on himself, his holy soul at Calvary. The Lord Jesus knew that this was the Father's will. This was the work that the Father had sent him to do. He couldn't stop short. He must enter right into the very depths of the suffering. He must taste the very bitterness of death. That shepherd might have been exposed to danger as he sought the sheep. He might have received a few grazes on his hands, on his legs, as he moved through the gorse or whatever. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was marred more than any man's. His form was marred more than the sons of men. He was unrecognizable. In recent days, thousands, millions of people over the world have sat in cinemas and watched a cinema screen as Mel Gibson tried to portray something of the deep agonies of Christ, but he failed. Every man could only fail. How can we ever imagine what he suffered? Even the physical sufferings of Christ are beyond human imagination. The flesh was torn from his very bones. And all the thing that was in his mind, the thing that was in his mind constantly, was that he'd come to do the Father's will. He'd come to seek and to save those that were lost. And he would never stop short. He would accomplish it. And the Lord Jesus died on that cross. He laid down his life on account of sin. He died on our behalf at Calvary. He went as far as he needed to go. All the way to Calvary he went for me. He died to set me free. Praise God to me. And when the shepherd came to the sheep, you can always see the scene. I don't know where the sheep was lying, but it was probably panting. It was probably anxious. It was probably fearful. It was probably dreading. Dreading the next moments. Just dying. And suddenly the shepherd came. What a moment, eh? What a moment of relief. What a moment of expectation. What a moment of hope that the shepherd had come. The one that he'd spurned. The one that the sheep had turned its back on. The one that the sheep had wandered from. And yet in wonderful love and grace he'd come just the way he was to save him and to rescue him. Isn't it wonderful? That the one that we have spurned. The one that we have rejected. The one that we have wandered away from. And we've got into a mess. And we've fallen into the depths of sin. And we've become wounded by the enemy. And we're facing death and eternal judgment. And yet the Saviour that we've rejected is the one that draws near to us. Come to be our Saviour. Come to be our Shepherd. Come to be our Lord. Come to be our Redeemer. As that shepherd came to the sheep, that little sheep had nothing to do. Just to yield itself into the loving and yet the strong and the almighty hands of the shepherd. That was all the sheep did. What could the sheep do? Couldn't they struggle? Couldn't they strive? It could do nothing. It was helpless. It had reached the end of its rope. And all it could do in order that they be saved was just to rest in the hands of the shepherd. That's all I did to get saved, you know. I just rested in the arms of the shepherd. I realised I couldn't do anything. I couldn't even say anything. And all I needed to do was just to rest in his almighty hands. And just trust in his ability to save me. And that's all you can do tonight. And that's all the Lord asks us to do tonight. He's the strong, almighty one. And he just wants you to rest your life. Just yield your all to him. And just allow him to save you. Just allow him to save you. You see, if you're not saved tonight, it's because you don't want to be saved. If you're not saved tonight, It's because you still think you can save yourself. My friend, we can't save ourselves. It's only Christ that can save us. We can't even contribute to our salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ has gone to Calvary. And those nail-pierced hands are stretched out, and he wants us just to trust in him, just to surrender all, to rest our life upon him and him alone. And as that sheep yielded to the shepherd, he lifted it up and he put it on his shoulders and he carried it all the way home. Praise God, that's what he did for me. As a wee boy of 9 years of age, I came to the Lord Jesus as a sinner. And I realised I couldn't save myself, but I understood that he had died to save me. And I just trusted him, I yielded to him, and he took me up and he's put me on his shoulders. And praise God, he's taken me and he's carried me all the way home to glory. What a shepherd, then. What a shepherd. And what he's done for me, I tell you, he can do for you if you're prepared just to trust in him. Just to yield your all. Our God and Father, again, we just thank thee for the good shepherd that gave his life for the sheep. We thank thee, O God, for the Lord Jesus that could say that no man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. And we thank thee, O God, that he laid down his life on that cross at Calvary. We think of all that he suffered, O God. We think of the awful agony, O God, that marked, he felt in his body from the very tip of his head to the very sole of his foot, O God. Nailed hand and foot to that cross, O God, in excruciating pain. And the Lord Jesus was prepared to endure that just to find the sheep that was lost, just to save poor lost sinners. We realise, O God, tonight that salvation is now available. And it's available to everyone that will just rest their all on the Lord Jesus and his ability and his strength to save them if they'll just let him. And our God, if there are any tonight unsaved, then we just pray tonight that we just rest on Christ and know the joy, our God, of being lifted, our God, from their sin and placed on his shoulders and just to be carried all the way home to heaven. We ask these things as we pray for a parting blessing in the Lord's name. Amen. Now we'll just sing a verse of a hymn just to close the meeting. 268. The hymn writer says, I wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The path of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. We'll just sing verses 2 and 3. Remaining seated of hymn number 268, and after that the meeting's finished. That's 268, verses 2 and 3, just remaining seated. Thanks again for your attendance tonight.